sake, because you are worthy. Amen. We're going to be looking at a number of different scriptures this morning. You can begin by opening your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 1. We'll also be looking at 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and then into the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy as well. And so, as you can hear, this is not a normal sermon on a Sunday morning here at Colonial Bible Church. We'll be back to our sequential exposition of the Gospel of John next Lord's Day. But this morning we want to give brief expositions and application to several passages this morning. As you see in your bulletin, the title of the message is, I Can't Believe My Eyes, a Christian response or a biblical response to an age of deception. You've heard it as well as I have throughout your life that seeing is what? Believing. And this morning I want to challenge that axiom. I want to challenge it biblically. And in so doing, my hope is that going to multiple places in the scripture that we pull on the thread of truth a little more in some very specific ways that, for those of you ladies who are familiar with quilting, pull those individual patches, those beautiful patches in the framework of scripture together a little tighter, and so that we are served well by being prepared for our life in an age of deception. As I mentioned last Sunday, I wanted to speak last Sunday and this Sunday, Lord willing, more pastorally to you, to address some specific points of the scripture and of application a little more pointedly than perhaps we do when we are just sequentially going through books of the Bible, which I do believe and still maintain that is the best way to do. But from time to time, pastorally, I think we need to maybe zoom out a bit and look at the whole of scripture and to see what scripture lays for us as a foundation. And I do this morning because I do sincerely love you all. And because I desire in this coming year the best for all of you. And because we will, without a doubt, probably beginning as soon as this service is over, encounter a world of deception for which we must be equipped. And because there is coming a day when we will all stand before the Lord. And we will give an account for the lives that He's given us, for the way in which we lived our lives, for how we were prepared and how we prepared to live our lives. Christian, I love you. I care for you. I want you to live faithfully. I want to live faithfully. I want to live intentionally. I want to live boldly. I want you to live boldly for Christ. I want you to live effectively for Christ. And we need to do that in the time and in the place that God in His sovereignty has caused us to live. I think sometimes we can read the Puritans and we can love them and we can say, man, it must have been wonderful to live in such a golden era. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have to contend with all of these other things. Man, that must have been the glory days. We don't need to be reminded, do we, that in God's sovereignty, we weren't born in England in 1600. We were born in America in whatever year you were born. And so here we are in the time and the place, and I say all that to say that God has effectively, by His word, sufficiently given us all things for life and godliness to equip us to live in the day and the age in which we live. I hope to help you in that. And then next week, I promise, we're going back to John, Lord willing. Now, let me say as a caveat this morning, I am not a prophet, nor would I want to be a prophet. That was a burdensome life. But I am an under-shepherd to Jesus. I'm his slave, and I'm a slave that has been born with eyes and ears. And you can just see, as you all do, the world around us and what is going on. And so I've heard many of you voice questions. I've had questions too. I've heard you voice anxieties about the future. We all have them. There is even frustration voiced and thoughts regarding the world in which we live. And again, I share many of those things with you, but this morning I simply want to help you. I want to attempt to help you think through these. Lay a pathway for how we live in the days to come. In the rapidly evolving world in which we live, I think this is more important than ever, that we understand, for our purpose this morning, the rising threat of deception. And here's the formula that pastorally I see all around me. Again, this is not prophetic. This is just observation. I'm sure many of you share the same observations. Deception causes doubt that leads to discouragement that ends in destruction. That's the plan of our enemy. To cause deception that leads to doubt, that leads to discouragement, and ultimately ends in destruction. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of hearing about people who are deconstructing their faith. I don't say that in a prideful way. It's heartbreaking. And like many of you, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the deception that has led to that. I'm tired of the tricks of the enemy that come into the people of God and seek to lead people astray. The end game of Satan has not changed. It is what Pilate said back in Jesus' day in John 18:38. What is truth? That's where Satan would like all of us to be. What is truth? How many of you have said, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have said in recent days even, I don't even know what to believe anymore? Who do I listen to? Where do I go for the facts, for the truth? Do I listen to this podcast? Do I read that blog? Do I watch that news station? Do I watch this news station? Where do I go? Or maybe you've asked it this way. How do I know who to believe? Francis Schaeffer noted decades ago that all that is in God is truly true. And we must live, Christian, so dependent upon the Word of God and so dependent on God that we no longer ask the question, but we simply give the answer. We go to the place where there is truly truth. And we need to know how to do that. And we need to know why we do that. And we need to know what it is that we're doing. And so this morning, I want to look at several biblical truths that are unchangeable, followed by some application for our lives around the growing deception, the growing apostasy, the growing confusion of the day in which we live. Number one, this morning, Scripture teaches us that deception is real. Deception is real. And not only is deception real, brothers and sisters, you know this, deception is growing. Scripture told us there would be a great falling away. And so I'm saddened by the things that I see, but I am encouraged because It's not outside of the purview and the sovereignty of God. He told us that this would happen. And so I take great heart, I take great confidence in knowing that this has not escaped the sight and the plan of our loving, sovereign Heavenly Father. I take no joy in it. But I'm encouraged that it is not outside of God's understanding and God's plan. Deception, we need to know this morning, grows in every conceivable place. There's not a place, there's not a corner of this world, in other words, where deception cannot and is not growing. It is in every place but one. And that is in the truth. And where is the truth? It's in God's Word. It is in that unchangeable Word of God that reveals God, who Himself is unchanging. So we don't fear, do we? But we do live with the realization that deception is real, and deception, as was told to us in the Scripture, is growing. Deception is part of life in a fallen world. In fact, let's go back and let's begin our journey through Scripture this morning in the time that we have at the very beginning, and that is in the Garden of Eden, where deception first rears its ugly head. I want you to notice something, and you can turn with me to Genesis 3. Like I said, this is going to be somewhat of Bible drill Sunday as we make our way and march through God's Word. Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Now we are right to point at Satan and say, aha, look at the great deceiver. But I want you to make note of something in Genesis 2 and 3, that it is not Satan only that promotes deception. It is also Eve. Here's what we read. The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said." Now, just so you're trailing with me here, are we good up to this point? Yeah, we're solid. But then she goes on and says, "God has said, you shall not eat from it." We still good? We're still good. But now here's where we go awry. "Or touch it, or you will die." Now go back and look at the instructions God gives Adam and Eve. God never says you can't touch it. God says you can't eat it. Eve twists what God says by adding to what God has said. Deception creeps in already in Eve's mind. Now, again, let me remind you, Eve has not yet eaten. Eve has not yet taken the bite. Adam has not yet taken the bite. This is still a perfect world. And yet deception is creeping in to the perfect place through the lie of Satan, through the baiting of Satan, and through the mind of man. That ought to tell you, we are all capable of believing, and at times in our lives will believe, a lie. Now, I said something, and I mean it. I love you. But I must say something to you now that is a hard truth. There are times in your life where you will believe what you want to believe, rather than what God's Word says you should believe. We all do. That's uncomfortable. That's not what I want to see. That's not what I want to hear. Therein lies the beginning of deception. Oh, God says, don't eat it or touch it. No, Eve, that's not what He said. That may be what you want to say in the, under the pressure of the serpent in the moment, but that is not what God said. He said, don't eat it, or you will die. And at that moment, Eve enters in, because of deception, into a completely different world. It is precisely because of this moment, at the fall, that we would become, as humanity, as Jesus would say, children of a different father. And that father is not the father of truth. He is the father of lies. In John 8:44, Jesus says, you are of your father, the devil. Now, I get it. He's talking to the Pharisees. He's addressing a narrow context of people here. But it's true for all of us. Because in the fall, we have all died. And in the fall, we are all deceived people, and our minds are muddled by deception. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. Now, where does that start? Believing what we want to believe rather than what God's word says. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. You know, one of the greatest lies that's told in our day is that we can all have our own truth. I have my truth. No, you don't. There is one truth, and it is God's truth. Everything else comes from this realm in which the father of lies reigns. There is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks, Jesus says, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. Where, Christian, does all deception come from? Satan. He is the father of the original lie, and he has been the father of every lie since. And we know that this has been the modus operandi of Satan, and it will always be the modus operandi of Satan. Because that's all he has to deal in. And when there is the truth, the only thing you can do in trying to combat the truth is, number one, you can submit to the truth and believe it, or you must fabricate a lie against it. And that's what Satan does. It's the only thing he can do to attempt to counter the truth is to lie and to deceive, to distort. Because, brothers and sisters, let's face the reality. This is not a popular truth, but it is the truth. Truth wins. Truth is strong. Truth is unassailable. Truth wins. Now, we live in a culture that doesn't like strong, dogmatic, uncompromising principles. Why? Well, we drank at the poisoned well of postmodernism for so long that said anything is true. But as another axiom goes, if everything is true, then nothing is true. And that is the age of deception in which we live. And we are now bearing the very bad fruit of that, where we don't believe anything because we've been deceived. And we can't trust anyone. But truth is strong. And truth overcomes. And truth, in the end, wins. 1 John 5:20, John writes this. And this gives us a window into the reason truth is so strong. And the reason truth wins. We know, John says, we know. That's a common phrase that John writes. That you may know, that we know. Over and over and over again in this wonderful letter. In 1 John 5:20, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. So listen to this. So that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Where does truth... Pilate, what is truth? I'll tell you what truth is. Truth is God. God is truth. And all truth that is comes from him, for he is truth. What does Jesus say about himself in John 14, 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to come to the Father, you'll come through me, you'll come through the truth. Truth is unyielding, it's uncompromising. Thus, Satan's ploy to subvert God. Remember, Satan is after God. He is after any means he can to undermine and subvert and distort and twist God. He hates God. And therefore, he will hate all truth because all truth is from God. We see this even in the world of mathematics and of science and of engineering, of Satan's ploy in a world to just destroy everything by causing people to even doubt math. Where does math come from? A God who is well-ordered? A God who's perfect? A created world that works perfectly by design? It is truth. Why? It comes from a God who is true. And so the deception grows. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 now. The Apostle Paul writes, but we have renounced the hidden things because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by manifestation of truth. Paul says, I put everything else behind me. Specifically in Paul's ministry, let your yes be yes and your no be no. We didn't use the wisdom of men. We didn't use trickery. We didn't do any of this. It is what it is. By a manifestation of truth, Paul says, commanding ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case, now notice what he goes on to say, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Do you hear that? Satan is actively at work to blind the minds of the unbelieving. Why? So that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. To condemn them who bear the image of God to everlasting destruction. This is the ultimate objective of error. This is the ultimate objective of deception, to destroy. A clear vision of Christ and a clear vision of God who is truth. Now, when we read of the growing nature of deception, I want you to realize this, brothers and sisters, it's not always a frontal assault. It's not always just, can I come in and destroy your life? Can I come in and destroy your children? I got Rocky's attention. Can I come in and have your children? Can I destroy their lives? Satan never comes that way. We know that. It's subtle. Through deception. They're causing you to just doubt, maybe. But it always has this in common. And for this, and I invite you to Romans chapter 1. That nature of deception that leads us ultimately away from Christ to our destruction as ones made in the image of God. This is what deception, all deception, and there's only one truth, but there is infinite numbers of ways to deceive someone. But there's only one truth, right? So it's very clarifying. We don't have to wrestle with truth. Truth is singular. Error is plural. But in Romans 1, beginning in verse 18, it's not an unfamiliar passage to you, but let me read it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. It is clear. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been, what? Clearly seen. Being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations. What a contrast. Fixed reality, speculation. And their foolish heart was darkened. They were deceived, in other words. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way, also men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned. Paul's now just describing how far this goes. Verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, who is truth, any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. What does all deception have in common? The suppression of truth. The suppression of truth. Now, I want to make a distinction here. In Paul's writing this morning, he says that they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They cannot change the truth. Did you hear me? They cannot change it. They can only hope to suppress it. They can only hope to subvert it. They can only hope to distort it. Satan can only hope to obfuscate it. You can't damage the truth. Truth stands. Truth stands, and yet the world tries to obscure truth, tries to suppress it. Again, not by an academic presentation against it. I listened to an interview recently by a Christian chemist and engineer at Rice University who is a creationist. And he said, the interesting thing is I can't get anybody to, all my, he said, and I'm friends with him, but I can't get any of my evolutionary colleagues to debate me. Not publicly. He said, because privately they all admit, we can't give you the evidence you seek. Academic presentations don't destroy the truth. They simply try to obfuscate it. They simply try to confuse you with their particular lie. And sometimes it's persuasive. Now, Christian, this is where the application begins, okay? So remember I love you, and remember that I want the best for you, but hear me. You and I must be humble and honest enough to admit we are capable of being deceived. We are capable of deception. And the minute that you say you're not is the minute you'll fall. We may not be imbibing at the well of Richard Dawkins' version of atheism. We may not be reading or listening and believing all the vile rhetoric of Rousseau and the roots of postmodernism. But we can very easily get swept away in the current of confusion. And as I said earlier, the formula that confusion or deception will lead you to doubt, it will cause you to doubt, that will then lead you to become discouraged, that will end in your destruction. And so you must guard against this. And the first way we do that is by saying, I am absolutely 100% vulnerable. Except God keeps me and intervenes. Unless I stay in the Word of God, we simply can be swept away into this formula of deception and confusion and ultimately destroyed. Now, I want to direct your attention now to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I need to hurry, but in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says, "Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous of you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now here, listen, this is Paul. This is inspired by the Spirit of God. This is not Brian Fairchild. This is Paul under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "But I fear, I'm fearful, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." See, truth is multifaceted, but it is simple. Paul says, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted," here's Paul's fear, "you may well put up with it." I'm reading from the New King James. I should have made note of that. Paul says, "You may well put up with it." Very well rendered there. And Jesus himself in Matthew 24:24 speaks of the power of deception and says that in the last days that many will come, false prophets, who would lead even the elect astray, if possible. Did you hear that? Not the nominal guy out there, the elect. God's remnant, God's people. Satan, by deception, will even try for them. I hope you're listening, because that could be us. Now, it may seem like a small thing, but there are no small things in the battle for truth that Paul would say this, that Jesus would say this. This is not Jesus trying to fill word count for an article he's writing for some journal. I need a few extra words. Yeah, let's throw that in there. Or Paul. I don't really know what to say. I'll say this. This is inspired from God, who is truth. And we need to be aware and on the lookout for every path that would lead us away from the truth. You hear that? Be a Christian. Be on the lookout for any path that would lead you away from the truth and be ready to fight for it. Be ready to contend. My dad, I love my dad. He's such a wise man. And he told me one time, he said, "Son, there is a difference in contending for the truth and being contentious about the truth." That's a great distinction. We must contend for the truth. That doesn't mean you have to be contentious about the truth. So we need to learn that lesson as well. We need to be on the lookout for every path that would lead us away from truth, any truth, all truth. Why? Truth is from God. Truth reflects God. And Paul writes to his young protege, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. If you don't have time to turn there, don't want to turn there, mark it down. He says, "But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, Timothy, you, young man, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known" what? "The sacred writings." That's the scriptures. Timothy, go back to the book. Go to the source of all truth. They're going to get worse. The deception is going to grow. The confusion is going to be off the charts. Timothy, go back to one place. You have one job. Stay right here. Don't move. Jesus will be back. You have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that, Christian, here's the good news, the man or the woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We have an antidote to deception. It's right here. Get into it. A relentless pursuit of the truth. Now let me tell you something. Anything else will leave you open to deception and will lead you in the pursuit of deception. Notice that those who deceive, in Paul's admonition to Timothy, they will deceive and they themselves will become deceived. You stay away, or you stray away from the scripture, you begin to focus on anything other than scripture, you are running the risk of being led astray. Total immersion in the truth of scripture. Some of you, English is not your first language. And I think it's really neat because those of you who that is true of, you amaze me. You're way smarter than I am. Because most of you picked it up by total immersion. I remember when I was in seminary, one of my clients was a total immersion French school for Jewish children. And I walked in to service their account one day. I had a really exciting job. I talked to people about tax filing and payroll services. If that doesn't put you to sleep, nothing will. And I walked in and they explained to me how the school worked. We don't speak a word of English to these kids. The minute that they're in, it's French and nothing but French. You can learn that way? Oh, yeah. By the end of their first semester in kindergarten, they're usually fluent. It's amazing. Paul says, you know, you're to be totally immersed here so that everything that comes out is this, and that is your antidote to deception. So pour into this and let this pour into you that it is truth for all of life, and there's no room. There's no time. And Christian, here's the thing that I think is most convicting. There's no appetite for anything else. There's no appetite for error or the potential for error when you are completely immersed in truth. Now, deception is real, deception is growing. Deception is also rooted in one's personal interpretation or the distortion of reality. Just like Eve. Paul gives further instruction to Timothy, and this is where the application may sting a little, but again, I say it out of love, and I say it to myself. Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, 7, "Have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. No, he's not trying to insult women. He's not trying to insult women of a certain age. But older women in Paul's culture particularly had more than ample time to sit around and cook things up. The word fable that Paul uses here with Timothy is the Greek word mythos, which simply means a narrative or a story without distinction or fact. Have you ever known anybody that just makes stuff up as they go? And they say, well, basically, when anybody ever says, well, basically, you should probably put your fact-checking hat on and start looking around. A fable that Paul deals with is a narrative, a story, telling you something without distinction or fact. Well, it's basically true. No, I want to know what's true. It's like Judges and Judges 17, Judges 21. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. I tell the story as I want to see it or as I see it. Christian, this is where I grow very concerned for all of us. This is the area of deception we are most inherently prone to. Speculation. Gossip. Hearsay. Slander. In so many different ways. We get so immersed in it. We're so capable of being deceived that then causes us to begin to be discouraged and to doubt, that can lead to our own destruction. And this is the point in which I want to make this pastoral application, because we live in a frustrating world where we don't know often what's true. And again, I'm not trying to discourage you, but brothers and sisters, this is going to get worse. And one of the ways I think it's going to get worse is this little thing called AI. It's going to distort reality. It can be used for great good, don't get me wrong. But it will be used, make no mistake, to create great destruction as well. And if we are not on guard, and if we are not immersed here, and let everything else just die, we can be led astray. We can be harmed. Guard against living in an inverted world as part of that world system. Rise above it in truth. Immerse yourself in the Scripture. And so I offer you a couple of exhortations. Number one, guard against being part of the problem. Paul says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. In today's world, the hiss of the serpent in the garden is often heard through posts on social media, podcasts, YouTube videos, Telegram channels, shares on text message, Substack articles. Anybody can say anything they want. And here's the reality, and I see it happening. We believe what we want to believe. I think you've come to this conclusion. There are things you'll never have the answer to. There are mysteries. Some are devastating and hard. But Christian, ours is not to chase every angle of these things down. Ours is to go right here, to this book. And like I said, the technological advances of our world will make it very enticing, very time-consuming, that you just want to think about, well, what did so-and-so say, and what did this podcast say, and what did this person say, what's the latest theory on this? If I may lovingly and pastorally say to you, who cares? Get in the book. Pursue the truth. That's not going to change one iota of your life. Get into this. Otherwise, you risk. Don't share what cannot be proven to be true. Don't share that which is not edifying. Don't believe everything you see or hear. I think my... Let's say it bluntly. Don't be gullible. I can't believe my eyes. No, you can't. But you can believe God's word. Speak truth. Believe truth. And that leaves us in a unique place as Christians. We alone know where to go for that. The world is so upset. Have you noticed that, how upset and confusing and frustrated and stressed out the world is? They have no truth. They're just, Listen to, pick a podcaster and listen to how they jump back and forth to different sides of the story. I don't know what's true anymore. Yeah, you don't. But I do. And I can live above all the noise of the world. I don't have to be deceived. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to doubt. I look up. I look down into the work. I get into it. And conspiracy theories. Rumors. Guard against those things. They can lead you down. Isn't that simple? What does that even have to... Trust me. It goes places you don't need to go. Friend called me. He said, I'm extremely worried about my wife. He said, she's begun to believe, and I won't name him, but these conspiracy theories are very popular today. And he said, the reason I'm concerned is because my brother, who once claimed to be a Christian, started to go down the same road. And he said, well, if that's not true, and that's not true, and that's not true, and we've been lied to about this and this and this, how do I even know God's word is true? And now he's an atheist. And he said, I'm terrified what might happen to my wife. Christian, that's where it can go. I just don't believe anything. I don't trust anybody. You can trust the one who is true. It's helpful if we just unplug from it all. Avoid the lies. I'm not saying live disconnected, but avoid the lies. And realize that the deception will only get worse because it is the lie of Satan to do it. Now, in closing, very, very quickly, know this, God's word is sure. Psalm 19:7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You want to be knowledgeable? You want to grasp things? You know where to go. The testimony of the Lord is that which is sure, tried, and true, and it makes wise the simple. We don't have to drift. Perhaps it would be helpful for us in the coming year to ask the question, what do I hope to gain by the pursuit of knowing or understanding something about fill in the blank? How's that going to make my life better? I think this is far enough away historically to make the point and not be too tender. How's it going to change your life if you really know who shot JFK? Is that really going to change your life? And yet there are current things that we can say, if I knew this and we get into this and get up, how's it going to change your life? How's that going to help you to love your spouse more? How's that going to help you raise your children differently? It shouldn't. And it won't. How's it going to help you to serve in the kingdom of Christ more effectively, to love each other? Does it really matter? But realize that's where deception, it gets in, and it's so enticing, isn't it? I've fallen for it. So have you. Retreat not from the battle, but to the Bible. Retreat to the battle, rather, with the Bible. And fight the good fight of faith. Fight and contend with truth. So much of what is presented to us is so important, so meaningful, doesn't really matter. We're being deceived. We're being lured away from the real battles that consume us, knowing all the while in 2 Peter 1, God has given us everything that is necessary for life and godliness. If God had wanted you to know who shot JFK, he would have told you. But he has given you everything you need. Stay right there. God's word is noble. God's word is unchanging. And God's word points to the one who is truth. As Paul wrote to the Romans in closing, Romans 3, verse 4. Rather let God be found true, and every man a liar. God is truth. Pursue the one who is truth. Now, in 2026, I don't know exactly what's coming. Now, I'm going to be saying more about the battle for reality and truth and technology in the month of March in our adult Sunday school class. And I hope you'll make plans to be there. We actually have a special launch for that on the last Sunday afternoon in February. We'll have a box lunch for everyone and a lunch and learn seminar after that, where we kickstart this idea. I don't know what's coming in 2026, but I can promise you this, there will be challenges to the Christian faith in the area of deception and truth, and we need to be prepared. We don't need to be scared. We don't need to be anxious. We just need to be prepared. And we can live joyfully and effectively for Christ above the fray if we don't buy in to the deception. Don't be dismayed, Christian. We have the truth. Let your eyes fall down upon the pages of Scripture, that in Scripture they will be lifted up to behold the King. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. God help us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is truth. Thank you that it gives us strength.